Tonight, Numbers chapter 11. And tonight, I want to draw your attention. By the way, there is a missions trip. All those guys going with us to Senegal. There's a mission trip meeting in the downstairs in the fellowship hall immediately after Wednesday night service. So Wednesday night service, we'll have a missions trip meeting down there. It's an important meeting. Need everybody there. It'll be our last meeting before we go. Until the day we depart. So we need everybody there so we can go over everything, last minute details. You could help us with that. You know, tonight, just thought I'd take a little bit of time and I want all of us to be a vessel unto honor. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that I want you to know how to possess your vessel. All of us control our vessel. We possess our vessel. That this body that God's given to us. And I want to draw your attention tonight. I got to thinking about what happens if we don't. What happens if you don't make your vessel one unto honor? Well, I just wanted you to see some of the fruits of not. If you have your Bible, Numbers chapter 11. And I want you to see an honorable vessel. We're positive. We've got joy and peace and long-suffering. And there's a positive nature and attitude toward every vessel of honor. There's just a characteristic of a vessel unto honor that we've got too much to live for, too much to be excited about, too much to look forward to ever be discouraged or disappointed or complaining or... And I want you to notice in chapter 11 of Numbers, let's just follow with me. I want you to read a couple passages and then we'll come back. And I want to draw your attention to something. In Numbers 11, verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord and the Lord heard it. And then you'll notice in verse number 10, and then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in his door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. Now, I want you to notice, the children of Israel were constant complainers, always looking back. And, you know, the Bible says that they said, man, look, you notice if you would, down in verse number 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. What were they lusting for? In verse number 5, we remember the fish which we did eat freely in Egypt. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. Now, they had all that they wanted. But they were beaten regularly. They were slaves permanently. And they looked at this one little area. Well, we had plenty to eat. I know we had our backs beaten and I know we had to work like dogs. And I know that the Pharaoh didn't care for us. And we know that he killed our children so we wouldn't keep growing. But we sure had good food to eat. And God heard it. We have to be so careful as vessels unto honor that we're positive. Now, I want you to see here in this passage, you'll notice they complained. They had seen the mighty hand of God. You've got to realize these people were some of the most privileged people on earth, much like us. I mean, you're going to go home tonight, you're going to look in your refrigerator, and how many of you went shopping before the storm? You know what? The pilgrims couldn't do that. And many of them died. You and I just run down to Shoppers or Safeway or Wegmans, and we just get whatever we want, put in our refrigerator, and we're good. The early pilgrims, they couldn't do that. They prayed to God, Lord, get us through the winter. We don't have that worry. But if not careful, we can say, you know, my refrigerator's old. I know it keeps cold, but it's scratched up. It's not very big. And you know, I think I need to get another. We can get this complaining attitude. Now, let me just remind you, a lusting attitude. Boy, I remember when I had this. I remember when it was that. Oh, I wished I had that. It's lusting in both directions. Something I have had or something I want. A lust is something you don't have but you want. It can be from the past or the future. And so God heard their lusting, and these people were genuine about it. I mean, they got in their tents and their tent flaps open, and Moses and God could hear them complaining about, we used to have plenty of fish and leeks and garlics and onion. I don't like garlics and onion, you know? Leeks, I don't like that stuff. Cucumbers. That's not the greatest of meals to me. You know what they had? They had manna from heaven. And they said, man, we're sick of this manna. They complained about God's gift to them. They complained. They complain, and you and I can complain. It's just having a negative attitude. It could be about everything and everybody. That's not for a vessel unto honor. Young people, don't have a negative attitude. Don't complain about your parents. It's not, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. If you want to be a vessel unto honor, you can't complain. You can't run your parents down. A vessel unto honor is one that looks on the positive sides of things. The children of Israel did not look on the positive side of things. They looked at the negative things. They complained. Oh, you know, I wish we were back in Egypt. Back in Egypt, they killed your children. Why did Moses survive? Because Pharaoh's daughter took him. They were killing their sons. How could they ever say, wish we could go back? That's how much complaining can get a hold of our hearts. But they were genuine about it. How could you be genuine? I want to go back to a place that killed my firstborn son. How can we ever get to that point? Well, when we take our eyes off the Lord and put it on things, we can begin to complain. And that's not for a vessel unto honor. Now, I want you to notice this vessel that was God's chosen people, they complained and they complained and they complained. And you'll notice this passage, they complained, they kept complaining, and they kept lusting. Boy, we wish we had this, we wish we had that. And notice what happens, if you would, in verse number 13. Wherefore should I have flesh to give unto this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. They wanted, just give us some meat. You know, we've been to Uganda many times now, 5 or 6 times, and I've never heard anybody say, I sure wish I had meat to eat. Never heard one of those people. There's 250, 300 people in the city church. I've never heard them say, come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, it should be nice if someone in your church would just send us over some meat, you know, or purchase us a cow. Or we just, you know, we don't ever get meat. You know, the fact of the matter is, they only get meat once a year. That's usually at Christmas. But they don't complain about it. And now look at us, and, you know, we complain about particular kinds of meat. You know, oh, I've gone to Wegmans, and they're out of the kind of meat I want. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? We have to be very careful we don't learn to complain. Now, let me tell you what happened. The children of Israel learned to complain. They complained, they complained, they lusted after things they didn't have, things they wanted. And they lusted and complained. And finally, you know what God did? Eventually, God gave up on them and the blindness was sent into Israel. And for 2,000 years, they've had no God. Because they were complainers. Because they lusted. They were never happy. And folks, it's a fundamental part of a vessel unto honor to be positive and be thankful what God's given to you. If you don't thank the Lord every day for something, you're going to get negative. You got to be careful. You get negative about your wife, negative about your husband. Now, you got to understand, they got negative and it ruined them as a nation. We just read it tonight. It reminded me of it as I was reading in Joshua Club, Romans 11. Blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So the Jews as a nation not being saved because God's allowed them to have the fruit of their own complaining. Their own lusting. Now he loves them. Folks, you and I have to be so careful of the things that come out of our lips that we're positive, that we're reinforcing positive. If we complain as parents, our children complain, and that complaining comes back on us. And you know what happened? Notice, if you would, in this passage, I want you to see this. I want you to see, number one, they complain. And we have to be careful not to be like that. I want you to see that this complaining you have to be careful of. You have to be careful of doing it. But you also have to be careful of what it does to you. If you do it, it ruins your heart. It makes you where you can't see the blessings of God. These were the same people, got to keep in mind, you know, these were the same people that crossed the sea, that saw Moses raise his rod, and they walked over on dry land across the sea. I cannot even imagine having that memory in my heart. How could I ever doubt or complain to God that he was not going to provide for me? If I mean, I may not have enough meat, I may not have enough things that I want, but how could I ever doubt that God loved me and that God was with me if I saw him part the sea? If I walked in and saw Jericho and walked around the wall seven times, and all of a sudden, on that last day, the seventh time, we gave a shout and the walls fell down, outward. And we walked right into the city. God is fighting for us. Why would we ever doubt him? But how many of you have had multiple answers to prayer in your life? Yet we doubt him. We question him. Lord, I know you answered for me last week, but I need another one this week. And I need another one next week. And I need three more today. And so if we don't get it today, we begin to doubt him. If you look back and see all the blessings of God, then you can become positive. I know him. I know he loves me. I know he answers prayer. But if you begin to complain and gripe, well, he hadn't answered this, he hadn't done this, and he hadn't done that, it'll ruin your heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4 says. Protect your heart. Anybody in here? Now, listen to the word. Any teenager in this room, perfect? So your parents could complain. Any parent in here, perfect? So every teenager could complain. And so all of us look in this room, anybody in this room, a perfect wife. So every husband could complain. Any perfect husbands? So every wife could complain. The difference in being happy and joyful is that you choose not to. You choose to be positive. You choose to be thankful. You choose to look at the good things. And there's always good things. And everybody in this room, there's always good things. You've got to look at it and you've got to praise that and you've got to say, Lord, thank you for that. And you've got to tell that person that. If you don't, I want you to see the result of a consistent, complaining, negative, lustful people. Name for me some of the greatest Christians of the Bible. Top three or four, five. Old Testament. Name for me some of the great Old Testament saints. Name for me some of the greatest. One. Moses. Okay. Daniel. Joseph. Noah. Okay. Okay, we got Noah, Joseph, Daniel, and Moses. Now, we could go with Job. We could go with whoever. God picked out three and said, Job, Daniel and Noah, they were in this society. They, by their own righteousness, would just save themselves and not this generation because they're so wicked. They're so corrupt. They're so negative, complaining, and lustful. They just want everything in the world their own way, and I'm just going to give up on them. But you mentioned, number one, as Moses. I don't want you to see the effect of complaining on Moses. And I want you to see the effect of complaining in your home. The effect of lusting and wanting things you don't have, that you used to have, that you should have. I want you to see the result of it. Notice with me, if you would, look at verse 10. Moses heard the people and weep throughout their families and every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. And look at verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Lord, why have you afflicted me with this great ministry you've given me? This is Moses. You know, Lord, why have you afflicted me by giving me this wife? Lord, why have you afflicted me by giving me these children? They don't listen. They don't. Why have you afflicted me, Lord, by giving me this husband? Because he's this, this, and this. Moses, the great Christian, was affected by the constant complaining to the point where he said, Lord, why would you give me this affliction, this weight, this burden of all these people? These were the people of God. It was his ministry. Young people, you can be so critical of your parents that you cause them to say, why am I been afflicted with these children? Wouldn't it be better if the parents said, man, I tell you what, my children are so appreciative. They're so thankful. I wouldn't trade them for anything. They're always encouraging and positive. They thank me for going to work. They thank me for cooking their meals. Where are those kind of young people? Where are those kind of husbands that say, honey, I want to thank you, and we go down this laundry list regularly? Where are the kind of wives that say, honey, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. You get up every morning, you go to work, you do this, you do that. I just want to tell you thank you. Everybody can be negative. We've already figured out none of us in this room got a perfect husband, wife, or children. So we can all find fault. What are we going to do? Are we going to complain and be negative? Or are we going to be grateful and positive and say, wow, what God has done for me? Has God been good to you in this room? We all live in houses with roofs, and we're going to have this snowstorm come in, and you've got a little gadget on your wall. You just turn it up a little bit, and it makes your house nice and cozy. There are how many generations of this whole world have never had that? Plus, how many still don't? I will never forget in Papua New Guinea going into the little hut that was about 8 foot in diameter, maybe 10. Taking off my boots, they were soaked, and there was a family of four sitting in that little hut with a fire going. There was no books. There was nothing that I saw to eat. There was a little bamboo curtain pulled where the parents slept. And there were two little children there, and father and mother, and they were sitting there by the fire, and there was not a complaint in the world. And we walked in and took off our boots and put our boots up next to the fire, and I'll still remember the steam coming off my socks because my feet were soaked, as everybody else says, Robert, were you in that hut with me? I said, Lord, forgive me for ever complaining about being bored. I don't have nothing to do. You go into your closet and it falls, toys fall out. I don't have nothing to do. We have all got multiple copies of this book. Man, I don't have nothing to do. And we complain. You know what happens? It's going to affect people in your family. It affected Moses, and it caused him to look at his greatest ministry and say, Lord, why have you afflicted me this way? Be careful. You don't want your great blessings to be called an affliction. But everybody in this room, if you complain, you will affect the people you love. And you will not be a vessel of honor. Notice the second thing that happened. Notice what I want you to see this. Verse 11. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? Lord, you've turned your eyes of blessing away from me. No, I didn't. These are your gift of ministry, Moses. But Lord, I think you've turned your back on me. I've lost your favor. Why? Because you've given me these complaining, lousy, bitter people. They want to go back to where they killed their sons and fed them garlics and leeks. That's what they're dreaming of. Lord, you've given me this great affliction. And Lord, you've turned your back on me. You're not even looking at me. What he thought. But notice the next one. That thou layest the burden of all this people upon me. Have I conceived all these people? All these children mine? That thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, beareth this suckling child in the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers. Lord, I don't want to take them to the promised land. Because all they do is complain and gripe and moan. Listen to them in their tent doors. They're crying because they want to go back and have their children killed. Something's wrong with them, Lord. But Lord, I don't want to do this. But I want you to notice the last effect. Verse number 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. Anybody ever felt like, Lord, you forsake me? I can't do all this alone. Number one, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5 says. You're never alone, but you think you're alone because the complaining and the negativity around you causes you to realize or think that God is not there. But notice the last effect, the lasting effect. In verse 15, he said, I can't do it. But notice verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, if you're going to keep putting these people with me, if this is going to be my ministry, what's the next two words? Kill me. I don't want to live. That is the end result of complaining and griping and negativity about anything in your life. You'll cause the people that you love to have no care to exist. Go on. Now, I know there's some parents in this room that children have broken your hearts. And I know there's some children in this room and the things that some parents have done have broken your hearts. But you cannot get complacent and begin to complain and you get situated in your position and say, well, you know what? God, it hadn't been fair to me. Life hadn't been fair to me. You know, I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have what they've got and I don't have what they've got. And I used to have this and now I don't. And you know what? You can't get that way. You can't let yourself become a vessel unto dishonor. Because it affects everybody. If it caused Moses to say, Lord, I want to die, what could it do to your husband? What could it do to your wife? What could it do to your parents? You got a brother, you're constantly running him down. You're worthless. I don't like you. You'll make him feel one of these days, you know, why am I here? Be careful of complaining. You're at the job place. This job. Be careful. You see, we have to make a choice. Do I want to see the negative or do I want to see the positive? Now, somehow, God got a hold of Moses' heart. But I want you to see the one last result. He lost his faith. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am, verse number 20. Verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. He said, I want you to tell the people to clean themselves up, but tomorrow they're going to eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out your nostrils, and it be a loathsome to you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him. Be careful what you complain about. And so Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. Lord, that's just the men. There's 1,000,000+ people here. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Wait a minute, Moses. When you got to the Red Sea, what did I do? You waved your rod and you walked across on dry ground. How did I do that? I don't know, Lord. And you say, how are we going to feed 1,000,000 people? Is that your worry, Moses? No, Lord. I'll trust you. You don't see that. The complaining of the people of Israel caused Moses to even doubt the power of his own God. And he had seen the power of God. Notice if you would look here. Look if you would in verse number 22. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them? Now, that's a funny one. Shall all the fish of the sea be caught and killed just to feed this million people? He had no idea how many fish were in the sea. But in his mind, well, are we going to empty the ocean of all the fish to feed all these people? Do you see how short-sighted his mind had become? Because he had been here and he's complaining, complaining, complaining. And so what does God do? I love it. In verse number 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt now see whether my word shall come to pass or not to thee. Now that's when you doubt God. Now, that was not Moses. So in Moses' life, there was this little period of time where the negativity got him. Don't let that be you. Let's don't be the perpetrator, and let's don't be the receiver of negativity. Let's just say, Lord, I want to be thankful and grateful and appreciative. And I don't say, nobody in this room says thank you enough. I know I don't. But it's one of the things after I read this and studied this, I said, Lord, I want to be more appreciative. I want to be more grateful. Lord, I want to say thank you for all that you've done for me. I can't even count all the things you've done for me. I'm so thankful, Lord. If you didn't bless me another day, I could look back and say, God is good to me. But it's a mindset. I've got to have that attitude. I am going to be positive. I am going to be thankful. I am going to be appreciative. I am going to be. Because if you don't make up your mind to do that, you'll find fault. Now, there's a difference in seeing something that you need to correct, seeing something you need to say, look, could I sit down and talk with you, and being a constant complainer. And you have to decide by the Holy Spirit's guidance which one we are. But I noticed this. Even in Moses' slip up here, I like what happened. If you'll notice in verse number 31, there went forth a wind from the north, from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits. Or 36 inches deep, high upon the face of the earth. So a day's walk this way, and a day's walk that way, and a day's walk that way, and a day's walk that way. All you could see was quail 3 foot deep. If I would have been Moses, I said, I got it. Never will I doubt you again. If I'm the children of Israel, I would have said, wow. This is even better than the Red Sea. Lord, forgive me. But you know what they did? They went out and they killed every quail they could and tried to, they stored it up. They tried everything in the world. Now notice what happened in verse number 32. And the people stood up all that day and all that night, all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered the least was 10 omers. Now that's an omer is, you know, at this point in time, it was like 60 gallons. It's like a barrel. They gathered 10 barrels. That was the least. And notice, if you would, and they spread them all abroad for themselves around the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, as it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against them, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Why? Because they lusted. Now, you notice, in verse number 34, because that they were buried, the people that lusted. They didn't control their lusts, so when God did bless them, they wanted everything and more. Be careful. Be careful of being a complainer. Be careful of looking at your wife and seeing the negative and not the positive. Be careful of looking at your husband and seeing the negative and not the positive. You can't be a vessel unto honor doing that. If you're going to be a child unto honor, you got to be thankful for your parents. You got to be grateful for them. You got to be appreciative. This morning, I got one of the sweetest notes from a child. their own handwriting. She's not sitting here today. She wrote out a little note, and it was to Pastor and Mrs. Pittman. And she so thrilled our hearts. She said, I want you to know, every day this week, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm thankful for you. And you know what? That just lifted my spirits. It's not because I haven't gotten them before, but it was this little child that was appreciative. You know, Moses was considered to be the meekest man on earth. If you'll look over in chapter 12 and verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. The meekest man on earth. But you know what? These pushing, constantly negative, constantly critical Israelites did to him. He went up and they said, we need water. We don't have water. Where are you going to get us water? We need meat. We need water. And they go out and he takes them out and he says, okay, Lord, they need water. What am I going to do? And God said, I want you to go out and just speak to the rock and I'll bring forth water. And Moses was so pressured and so pushed and so felt so much constant negativity that he reached out and took that rock and they took that rod and he said, must we fetch this water for you? And he struck that rock twice. And God was honorable. And he brought forth the water. God looked at Moses and said, Moses, why do you let these people affect you so? Because you lost your temper, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land. But Lord, that's my greatest desire. And God said, I'm sorry, Moses. Don't let the people around you, if they're negative, take away your greatest joy. And if they are, you change it around by being positive. Look what the Lord's done today. I want you to see the quail. As far as your eye can see, 3 foot deep. What a privilege. Look, you know, kids, I want you to know something. God gave me a job, and I didn't know where the job was coming from. I've had a job for, how many of you have been employed by the same company for more than 10 years? Would you raise your hand? You ought to be grateful. How many of you have had the job for more than 20 years? Raise your hand. Wow, we ought to be grateful. I think all of us, me too, look at things too negative and we don't praise the Lord enough. And if you're not careful, nothing you have will be good enough. And you'll affect other people, good people, that love the Lord and cause the meekest people on earth to lose their temper and to miss their greatest joys. Tonight, let's be vessels unto honor that help everybody around us reach their greatest joys. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything that I do to prevent you, anything that I say, anything that I do to prevent any of you in this room from having the dreams of your heart if they're in God's will. I don't want any of you to miss them because of me. It is our greatest privilege to be able to say, Lord, thank you, and number them. So tonight, I want to challenge you to do this. I want you to list all the good things about your wife or your husband or your parents. And I'd like for you to come down to this altar or get in your aisle, sit down in your seat and say, Lord, I just want to say thank you for this and 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 this. Because we're negative people. Have you ever turned on the news? And what is good on the news? How much is good and how much is bad? Well, Russia's done this. Afghanistan's done that. Iraq has done this. Arizona's done this. Texas has done that. I mean, and you know, there's nothing going good on in this whole world. And God is still in love with you. And you are His greatest treasure. You are the apple of His eye. How much is that worth to us? Every one of us should say, Lord, I don't understand why You love me so much. Lord, You're my shepherd. I shall not want. Tonight, are you a complainer and negative? Are you grateful and positive? There'll never cease to be a day that you can't find something wrong and be negative. But it ought to cease today. And we ought to be grateful. If you don't, you'll affect your heart and the ones you love. Let's be vessels unto honor tonight. Let's bow heads for his prayer tonight. Ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of maybe thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'll just ask you to play that. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you could come tonight and just say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. I want to be a vessel unto honor. And a vessel unto honor doesn't complain. It's not negative and critical. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to steal the joys of somebody else. We're just going to have a word of prayer. And we're going to stand to sing. If you need to come tonight, come thank the Lord for your mate. If you've got good children, you come and say, Lord, thank you. I mean, we've been blessed, folks. There's going to be a storm tonight. And we're all going to be warm. Lord Jesus, don't let us be like Israel. Don't let me. Lord, speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you would please. As the pianist plays, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You need to come this morning. You come right ahead. That's right. Lord, thank you. I got a lot to be thankful for. Just come and list some of them.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you,
my parents.
Lord, for giving
thank you, Lord, for my husband.
Me
thank you, Lord, for my job.
My great salvation.
Thank you, Lord, for my
so
2 feet that work
and free. Thank you.
Brandon to sing, lead us in that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I just encourage you tonight, let's be a positive people, a grateful people. We serve the greatest God in all the world, put the stars in His place, and He loves us, and He knows our name, and He knows all the burdens of our heart. Why can't we be grateful? Lord, thank you. Let's sing this verse.
Turn over to 639. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, number 639. We'll sing the first verse.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
The Lord has been so good to all of us. And I'm just reminded, when I read about this passage of Scripture,
You know, I go back and I think about my ride from Fairfax, from Loudoun County to Fairfax Hospital when they said, your wife's taking a turn for the worse. You better come now. All these thoughts flooded through my mind. What will I do without my sweet wife? Folks, we have a lot to be thankful for, no matter what. You know, I have got nothing to complain about. I called this week and wished my own pastor happy retirement. He's been at the same church for 49 years. I said, you've been a great example for that. And then I paused. I said, Lord, I've been able to be in the same place for a long time, too. I want to thank you for that. We just have so much to be grateful for. We just get human and start seeing the negative. Let's be supernatural and be positive and see all the good things and ask the Lord to open up our eyes and see the quail 3 feet deep. What a great blessing. Lord Jesus, we can never in 1,000 lifetimes say thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, when you washed away our sin, wrote our names down in the book of life, and gave us the gift of heaven, Lord, nothing will ever equal that. The privilege of being able to be with you for all eternity. Lord, forgive us for being complainers. Forgive me for being negative about, Lord, I wish this, I wish that. Lord, I'm sorry. Now, I pray that you'd make us a people that are grateful. Lord, we live in a country that's free. And we have a soul that's free. Lord, you've been good to us. We have a church family that's wonderful. I pray that you'd help us be grateful to you. And help us to let you know that we're grateful to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Be safe tonight. Lord bless you.